Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. A very warm welcome to Madhya Bharat Agro Products Limited Q1 FY26 Earnings Conference Call. From the senior management, we have with us today Mr. Pankaj Oswal, Promoter and Director, Mr. Gaurav Ranka, Accounts General Manager. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance in the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Gaurav Ranka. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Ranka.
Thank you, Renju. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the earning call for Madhya Bharat Agro Product Limited. Before we begin the earning call, I would like to mention that some of the statements made during today's call might be forward-looking in nature, and hence it may involve risks and uncertainties, including those related to future financials and operating performance. Please bear with us if there is a call drop during the course of the conference call. We would ensure that the call is reconnected the soonest. I would like to hand over the conference to Mr. Pankaj Oswal, Managing Director. Over to you, please, Pankaj.
Good afternoon, everyone. A warm welcome to Madhya Bharat Agro Products Limited, first quarter earnings call for FY26. We are pleased to report an exceptional start to FY26, delivering record-breaking revenue, production, and operational performance for the quarter ended June 30, 2025. Industry overview. Q1 typically aligns with the onset of Kharif season, a critical demand cycle for the fertilizer industry. This year was no exception. The sector saw robust seasonal traction, especially in complex and phosphate-based fertilizers, supported by active sowing and well-distributed monsoons. While these favorable agroclimatic conditions boosted demand, particularly for NPK grades, the industry also faced significant raw material cost inflation and supply side competitiveness. Raw material headwinds. Raw material prices remained highly volatile. While ammonia saw moderate softening, key inputs like sulfur experienced sharp price escalations, nearly doubling in some cases over recent quarters. These input trends underscored the need for sharp procurement discipline and efficient cost management. Financial performance Q1 FY26. Our financial performance for this quarter demonstrates strong execution and resilient growth. Revenue from operations stood at Rs. 409.7 crores, up 38% quarter-on-quarter and 104.5% year-on-year, the highest ever quarterly revenue led by NPK volume growth. EBITDA, excluding other income, stood at 57 crores, a 60% quarter-on-quarter and 71.1% increase year-on-year, with EBITDA margins improving to 13.9%. EBITDA per ton of Rs. 5728 marks a notable outperformance compared to typical industry levels, backed by scale, efficiency, and disciplined margin management. Profit after tax at Rs. 28.2 crores, 100% quarter-on-quarter, and a 145.5% year-on-year growth, with PAT margin at 6.9%. Basic EPS rose to Rs. 3.22, from Rs. 1.63 in quarter 4 FY25 and Rs. 1.31 in Q1 FY25. Operational highlights. We achieved our highest ever quarterly fertilizer production of 1,14,773 metric tons and a record sales volume of 1,05,976 metric tons, driven by robust seasonal demand and improved operational throughput. NPK DAP sales surged to 59,655 metric ton, registering 79.4% year-on-year growth, supported by optimal capacity utilization at 98%. SSP sales stood at 39,863 metric ton, a modest decline of 8.4% year-on-year, though capacity utilization remained healthy at 79%. Strategic product innovation. We continued to drive value-led growth through product innovation. Bharat Urea SSP, a novel formulation enhancing nutrient use efficiency. Annadata Super 6, a fortified SSP enriched with zinc, boron, and magnesium, targeting micronutrient deficit soils. Both products were successfully launched and are expected to contribute meaningfully in the upcoming quarters. Expansion and strategic investment. Our strategic expansion roadmap is advancing very well. In Dhule, Maharashtra, the company's major expansion is progressing very well, comprising 330,000 metric ton per annum NPK DAP, 99,000 metric ton per annum phosphoric acid, 198,000 metric ton per annum sulfuric acid, additionally a 330,000 metric ton per annum single super phosphate fertilizer plant has been proposed at Dhule to further strengthen the portfolio. We have secured phase 1 funding of Rs. 202 crores through term loans from SBI, Axis Bank and Federal Bank with Rs. 51 crore disbursed as of June 30, 2025. Project expenditure till date stands at Rs. 135 crores. All regulatory approvals related to this backward manufacturing have been obtained. We have secured 17.82 hectares of land adjacent to its Banda Sagar facility through a long-term lease from AKVIN to support future capacity expansion and integration. We have also announced a further debottlenecking initiative to enhance DAP NPK capacity by 36,000 metric tons per annum and a new capacity of sulfuric acid at Sagar by 165,000 metric tons per annum. These expansions aim to fortify backward integration, ensure supply chain resilience, and broaden our footprint in western and central markets. Outlook. We remain optimistic about FY26, supported by favorable seasonal momentum, robust product pipeline, and expanding infrastructure. The successful launch of differentiated products such as Urea SSP and Anadata Super 6 positions us well to meet evolving farmer needs and enhance farmer traction in upcoming quarters. Our ongoing expansion projects in Dhule and the proposed facilities in Banda are expected to significantly strengthen our manufacturing footprint, though results would be visible in FY27 only, and will result into improved cost control through backward integration and enhanced supply security across key regions. We continue to invest in improving our manufacturing technology and process efficiencies with R&D efforts focused on optimizing product performance and cost structure. These initiatives are aimed at enhancing operational productivity and supporting the launch of farmer-centric products that respond to nutrient challenge in Indian agriculture. However, we believe our integrated operations, agile sourcing strategy, and expanded product portfolio will position well to navigate these uncertainties and deliver long-term stakeholder value. With that, we are now open to the floor of questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes to the line of Subrata Sarkar with Mount Intra. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
This is regarding our SSP, sir. So recently government has increased the fertilizer subsidy on SSP by quite a huge margin, like up to 7,000. So can you just make us understand like what will be the impact on that? Vis-a-vis what is the price of the it will also help us if you explain a little bit about how this subsidy is set, because the rock phosphate price has also gone up, but what is the relation and are we going to benefit out of benefit means are we expecting either in terms of profit or increase in volume because of this action?
Yeah, I have understood your question. So, coming to the subsidy numbers, the last 6 months, which was 31st March 25, the SSP subsidy was 5121 rupees per ton, and now the subsidy is 7263. So, approximately the subsidy have increased by 2100 rupees. So, what has happened? Why the subsidy increases or why the subsidy decreases? You need to understand the basic reason behind increase or decrease is the increase in raw material prices in last 6 months. So what has happened is the prices have gone up for phosphates and sulfur. That is why the prices have increased, and the Government of India Department of Fertilizer wants to ensure the availability of fertilizers at a reasonable price to the farmers. So this is the whole thought process. The subsidy has increased. Definitely, the increase in subsidy will somehow, what we can call it as, it may impact the profitability in positive terms, because the profit on the opening stock of the inventory on 1st April 2025, which is there, it may increase slightly, but the raw material prices have also increased. So let's see the exact calculation, exact working, that what is the impact on the profits for the increase in subsidy.
Sir, can you like explain at least, can you give some ballpark number how much the raw material price has increased, sir?
See, for rock phosphate, the price is... The prices for rock phosphate, the prices would have increased by around 5 to 10%. Exactly, I don't have the numbers right now. And for sulfur, the prices have almost doubled.
Okay, sir. So just another thing, like the SST subsidy has gone up, but vis-a-vis DAP subsidy has not gone up. So will that help? Will it be like? Can that have a positive impact on SST sale? Because DAP price, that subsidy has not changed. So relatively, it has become cheaper to the farmer, and there may be some shift from DAP to SST because of this reason, sir.
No, you need to try to understand that the subsidy is not dependent on product to product, but it is a nutrient-based subsidy. Department of Fertilizer, Government of India decides the value as per the nutrient, N, P, and K, and S. So it is the value determines the total amount of subsidy on every product, whether it is SSP, whether it is DAP, whether it is NPK. And what has happened is, right now, DAP has an extra subsidy being given. So it is not the case that SSP or DAP, the subsidies are different, or NPKs, the subsidies are different. Only DAP has some extra subsidy involved, which is around ₹3,500 per metric ton. And coming to further the sales of DAP or NPK, the product is being bought out by the farmers. So farmer decides what product has to be purchased on what crop and stage specific and what time.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thanks for the clarification.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Viraj with Motilal Oswal AMC. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi. So my question regards the roadmap for expansion. So what do you see your outlook in the next 5 years?
I have already told you that our expansion project is coming up at Dhule, Maharashtra industrial area. And we are putting up a plant of 330,000 tons DAP, NPK, and SSP 330,000 tons. So, and which is having a backward integration of phosphoric acid of 99,000 metric tons per annum and sulfuric acid 198,000 metric tons per annum. Definitely, in India, the complex fertilizer is being imported in huge quantities. Approximately almost 50% of the manufactured, 50% of the total requirement of complex fertilizers is being imported. So, and Maharashtra is one of the highest consuming states in the country. And we will be just replacing the imported fertilizer in case of DAP and NPK complex fertilizer. For SSP, India is completely dependent on Indian manufacturers, and there is a huge scope of increasing the market for SSP in the country. So both these products, which we are going to manufacture, start manufacturing by September 26, will be in demand, and the demand is also increasing on year-on-year basis. We are very positive on business, and we hope that our capacities will be fully utilized in coming years.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Riju with Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So my question is regarding the EBITDA that we have reported this quarter. So there is a sharp improvement in terms of YOY and in terms of sequential basis. Can you please clarify, like, how much this was due to the inventory gain, or because we are in a, you know, a scenario that RM prices are moving upwards, especially the sulfur. So if you could clarify that thing.
The EBITDA definitely. EBITDA you want for metric for per ton basis or total EBITDA? Because right now I have the figures of per EBITDA.
Yeah, so total EBITDA is roughly around 55 or 56 crores that you have reported this year.
57 crores. Yeah,
57 crores. So how much that was due to the inventory gain? Because there must be some inventory gain in this quarter, because we are in a, you know, in a scenario where RM prices are moving upwards. So how much that was due to the inventory gain?
Uh-huh. Okay. Right now I don't have the figures. Give me another 5-10 minutes and we can reply it later. That will be better.
Yeah.
Because okay, right now I don't have the figures. I cannot. But you can put your question. We can where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Antique Stock Broking.
Antique Stock Broking. Okay. So
yes.
Just give us if we are able to give you the numbers now, or we will take
your
number.
I have your number. So I'll take it offline.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Sorry, we could not answer you right now.
Huh? No problem, sir. And in terms of the other questions, like, so we have the combined capacity of DAP and NPK, right? And I do understand that it's a fungible capacity. But if you could broadly guide, like, in this quarter, how much we have manufactured NPK, how much we have manufactured DAP? A broad number.
So for DAP, it was zero in this quarter. NPK we manufactured 59,655 metric tons.
Understood, sir. And in terms of, you know, in your last year figure, so in FY25, so how was the manufactured, out of the manufactured fertilizer, how was your NPK share, and how much was your DAP share? In the complex side.
Yeah. For last year, the total DAP NPK production was 151,579 metric tons, and DAP was 1900 metric tons.
Understood.
It was a very small quantity. DAP was very small quantity.
Okay. And for this full year of FY25, like roughly around, can we expect 90% and 10%? So 90% is NPK, 10% is DAP.
For FY?
FY25 for the entire year.
Yeah, I told you, no, exact numbers.
1,51,000
is NPK, and 1,51,000 is NPK, and 1,900 is DAP. So it is not 90, it is almost 99% is NPK.
Okay, understood. Okay. So broadly, we are into the NPK side in terms of the manufactured fertilizer. Is that correct, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And so,
NPK fertilizer has been in demand by the farmers, and what happens is, in case of NPK, farmer is able to decide what nutrient has to be given to the crop at growth specific timings. So NPKs have been and always are best fertilizers.
Understood. Yeah, that's great. And in the other questions I had, like the EBITDA per ton that we have, you know, we have reported this quarter. So how sustainable is that going forward? And the another thing, like if you look at the DAP imports from the global market, so that has came down sharply over last 1 or 2 years period, mainly because of capacity constraint in China. But now Indian government has, I think, a few of the companies have, you know, make some MOU or sign some MOU or the agreement with the Middle East companies to get DAP in the Rabi season. So how you see this scenario changing? Because we have seen NPK share in NPK mix for the entire industry has inched up by 2% roughly compared to DAP. So NPK has replaced the DAP market in FY25. So how do you see going forward if DAP capacities start to come in India, the volumes start to come in India from the Middle East region?
See, definitely our higher volumes, scale efficiencies, and superior capacity utilization has helped improve our cost absorption, which directly enhances the EBITDA per ton, right? So in future also, we are pretty confident that we will be able to achieve the similar EBITDA numbers in coming times, in coming quarters and coming years. And your question regarding the DAP and NPK, again, what I want to tell you is DAP has its own place and NPK has its own place. If you see the market position of DAP and NPK in various states, like Madhya Pradesh, Punjab, Haryana, they will be demanding more of DAP. But if you go down the line, down the states like MP, Maharashtra, Andhra Pradesh, UP, Chhattisgarh, all these states have a huge demand of NPKs. NPKs could be 2020-013 or 12-32-16 or 2020-19-19 various type of NPKs. So again, what I want to say is NPKs will enjoy their market positions in coming times, and DAP fertilizer has its own demand of fertilizers in various parts of country as per the crop pattern. So both products will be in demand in coming years.
Understood, sir. That's very helpful. That's all from my side. Thank you. Thanks for clarifying all.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Hitesh Randhawa with CEGR Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, hi. I think you did say that by September, I think the new capacities would be commercialized. So I'm assuming that, okay, the CAPEX go live is on track.
Yeah.
From a utilization ramp-up point of view, how do we see the utilization 27-28 onwards?
See, for year 27, FY27, we have already explained to you that we will be starting our production in the month of September 26. So
September 25. Okay, yeah.
Half the year of the production is available in FY27, and for our project purpose, we have taken the capacity utilization around 50%, and for the next year, that will be FY28. FY28. Yeah. So for that year, we have taken the capacity utilization at 70%.
Okay, FY28, 70%. Okay.
In our project reports, which has been submitted to the banks.
Right. Okay. Okay. But kind of that is how you kind of expect. I know it's a bit far off, but that is how you expect things to pan out, given that.
These are very conservative numbers which we have taken for our capacity utilization. But from the performance of our present facilities, we are very confident that we will be able to achieve these numbers, or better also.
Right. Okay. Thanks for that. And second, I think there was some discussion around government subsidies as well. I'm sorry, I had a bad line then. Whenever these government subsidies are kind of declared, and you did say that, okay, it is also kind of nutrient-based and also dependent upon the raw materials, etc. So kind of, if the raw material prices, say, kind of go down during the year, because the subsidy has been fixed for the year, so kind of does that benefit us in some way? So subsidy remains constant, but the RM price movement, does that benefit as well? Gives us extra delta?
The subsidies are not decided for a year. It is decided for 6 months, from 1st April to 30th September, and then 1st October to 31st March. And now coming to the increase or decrease of subsidy figures or the nutrient-based subsidy figures of NPK and S, definitely increase or decrease impacts the numbers. It is nowhere that I don't want to give you in dark that the subsidy figures going up or down, what happens. But definitely it impacts. But how you do the business, how you have that capacity to absorb that increase or decrease, and particularly decrease, because when the prices are decreasing and the subsidies are expected to go down, how you manage your inventories and how you are able to purchase your raw material, there is always a utilization of your skill to purchase the raw material so that you don't end up into a higher cost inventory once the subsidy goes down on half yearly basis. So it is all the efficiency of the management.
Right. Okay. Sure. Thanks for that. And so talking about the tax rates, I think I just was able to glance through one of the annual reports, and there was quite a few components basically due to which the tax rate has been a bit all over the place. So what kind of tax rate, would this tax rate become a bit predictable, and would it normalize over a period of maybe next FY26, FY27, or it would keep on fluctuating?
Tax rate, you are talking about income tax or which tax rate?
Yes, income tax, yeah.
So in case of income tax, FY25-26, we are under MAT, 26-27 we are under MAT, and 27-28 also we are under MAT. So after 28, FY28-29, right now I cannot say what could be the percentage terms, because since we are on an expansion mode, we remain to be under MAT. But till FY27-28, we are definitely confident, because our project is under expansion. So we are under MAT only.
Okay. And lastly, I do not know if this would make sense or not, but are there any plans of any kind of corporate action or merging our other entities, actually? Say, for example, we've got another listed entity, Krishna, as well, and I think we've got another one as well. So are there any plans of maybe merging these in any way?
See, I have been talking to many investors and this question has come up every time. But what I would like to say again is that we are foreseeing some difficulties in merging the entities from the Department of Fertilizer, because as you are already aware that there is a subsidy component being involved in every bag or every ton of fertilizer being sold to a farmer. So, and the full, and the subsidy is being under this fertilizer monitoring system called as FMS by Department of Fertilizers. So, we have that apprehension that in case of the companies going under merger may face some subsidy or cash flow problem. So, we are not right now foreseeing any merger as long as we are able to sort it out the problem of subsidy cash flow in case the merger happens and the subsidies are stuck up for a month or 2 months or 3 months, which we are not able to identify. So until and unless we are able to sort it out, or there is a second option that the subsidies goes to the farmers and we get the full amount from the farmers, then we are always open in the interest of the shareholders that we may merge. But right now, there are no such plans to merge right now.
Okay. Sure. Thanks very much. Yes, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Vaibhav Bajatia with Honesty and Integrity Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for providing the opportunity. I just have two questions. So, average SSP pricing like for tap it is 1850 when it started out. So I think SSP is relatively more free government has done for that. So for SSP, what is that pricing on an average basis? I understand it will differ from company to company, but on an average basis, what is the broad range?
The SSP is available in powder and granule with a additional nutrient of zinc, boron. So average pricing across the industry could be around 475 to 525 rupees per bag.
Okay. And secondly, sir, recently there has been a proposal, draft notification to amend the mineral concession rules 2016. And under that rules, government is proposing that the ASP, which is declared by Ministry of Mining for all the rock phosphate, will be based on CFR rather than the actual rock phosphate being sold by different mines, like from the mines we procure, for example. So, do you see any impact on our rock phosphate domestic procurement because of this these changes in regulation?
See, in India, the rock phosphate is mined in Udaipur, owned by RSMM Limited, which is a government of Rajasthan company, government of Rajasthan company, and the other mines is based out at Sagar and Jabua, which is again the mines are owned by government of Madhya Pradesh, and some mines are owned by private players also. So and the prices of rock phosphate by these sellers are normally connected to the import prices. So, I don't see any material impact, because if the imported prices increase, they also increase the price. If the imported prices decreases, they also decrease the price. So, in that
notification, there has been a ratio mentioned for the percentage of phosphate concentration in different rocks, so that might actually differ than what we procure, and their royalties and everything can get increased, and they might want to pass on that royalty increase and everything to us in the end royalty increase. So I was just trying to understand that.
No, but again, what I want to tell you is that whatever is the CFR prices for any type of rock being imported in India, the prices has to be matched by the domestic players. Otherwise, there is an opportunity for the imports. So the prices will match up whatever be the amount of royalty. You need to understand the total cost, na? We cannot go for a royalty or taxes or something like that. It is more of a CFR cost to a plant.
Yeah, I completely understand that, but the objective of bringing that notification, draft notification, the premise of that draft notification was that the prices are different and that's why they want to have the CFR benchmark. So I was under the impression that probably the prices might be different for CFR and domestic.
Yeah, I got your point. So ultimately the prices will be in line with the import prices, because almost huge quantity of the nutrient is being imported in the form of raw material or in the form of intermediates or finished goods directly. So the prices will be aligned with the imported prices.
Okay. Got it, sir. Thank you. That's it from me.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes on the line of Darshil Javeri with Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello. Good evening, sir. Thank you so much for taking the question. Firstly, congratulations on a great set of results, sir. So, I was going through our last con call. Yeah, I think out there we guided for a 15% growth in FY26, but I think seeing our Q1 results, I think that only has, you know, taken care of all our growth aspirations maybe. So we want to know what kind of revenue guidance and EBITDA guidance can we have for FY26, sir?
Revenue guidance and EBITDA guidance?
Yes, sir.
The EBITDA, definitely, the EBITDA guidance, it has come out through our higher volumes and the better efficiencies and the capacity utilization. So what I would say is we will continue with all those efficiencies, and we hope that EBITDA remains same or better from this quarter. This is for EBITDA, and in terms of revenue also, since we have already utilized our most of the capacity, like in complex fertilizers, we have achieved the 98%, as I have told in my speech also. So we are confident that we will be achieving the capacity utilization at the best.
So, sir, does that mean like our quarterly run rate is now around 400 CR? Is that a fair assumption, sir?
I have told you that we will be able to achieve our production capacities, and definitely once the production capacities are achieved, EBITDA will also be in line with the utilization. Definitely after this second quarter, the subsidy numbers are also going to be revised. So we are hopeful and we are confident that definitely our capacities will be fully utilized and we will achieve in line with this first quarter.
Okay, that's great to hear, sir. And just also, if I can, sir, yes, in FY27 next year, our capacities are coming online in H2. So I just wanted to know, like, how will that impact? Like, it will take some time to scale up. I think you were saying 50% utilization. So yes. I just want to know, like, how the do we see, like, will we have enough demand for our products, or how do you plan for that? How are we planning for the next year, sir?
See, as I have told you that we will be utilizing our 50% capacity for the new plant. We also understand that once the plant starts, there are some teething problems. So we have already included those teething issues into our numbers, and we are looking forward for only 50% of the capacity utilization coming. So one point is this. Another point is that we are based out in Maharashtra, and Maharashtra is one of the highest consuming states of fertilizers in the country. and the huge quantity of fertilizer is being imported in Maharashtra from either from either from outside the country or inside the country also. Like SSP, there is a demand of almost 10 lakh metric ton, and against that only around 3 to 4 lakh tons is being manufactured in Maharashtra. And for DAP and NPK, there is a demand of almost 30 lakh tons, more than 30 lakh tons, and the quantity is not being manufactured in Maharashtra. So we are confident to sell our production capacities. There is no issue in coming years.
Okay, great. That's great to hear, sir. And so just wanted to know, just a bookkeeping question, in terms of, like, you were saying about two questions. So one, like, the tax rate as per MAT was, I didn't know how much is our tax rate, like, as per MAT, because we see sometimes it is 30%, sometimes it's up by 24 or 50%. So what is the effective tax rate, we can explain? And our total capex cost is around 600 crores, right? So that depreciation will come in next year, right? Once the capex is online.
Yeah, so the depreciation, there is a section 35AD in income tax, which allows us for an 100% depreciation in the same year. So we will be claiming that depreciation in FY27. Okay. So we will be getting that 100% depreciation of around 600 crores or the expenditure done in the project. One point is this. The other point is that the MAT percentage, MAT percentage is 17.47% is the MAT percentage. But then there is a deferred tax liability also which has to be calculated, and which will be 35% approximately. Total liability.
Oh, okay. So around roughly, if I will say that our tax liability will be around 35, 10 plus minus something, but roughly is going to be that.
Yes.
Okay. And we wanted to know, sir, currently, like, you're also taking debt for our CapEx. So what is the cost of funds that we have? Like, do we have any interest, subvention or something? Like, what's the roughly cost of funds that we have?
See, we have been sanctioned loans from SBI, Federal Bank, and Axis Bank. So the interest rate for the term loan is around 8.50.
Okay. That's a very great rate, sir. That's it from my side, sir. Thank you so much for all the best.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Isha Shah with Nizar Enterprise. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Am I audible?
Yes. Please carry on.
Okay. Sir. First of all, congratulations on good set of numbers. I have a few questions. First is, sir, what would be the asset turnover for our new capacity that is coming up in Dhule?
Just hold on. The total capex will be around 650 odd crores, and the first year turnover based on the capacity utilization. Just hold on, It will be around 1:1.
So here we have taken capacity utilization of first year, which is around 50%.
Which is around 50% for the 6 months, because we are going to start the production in September 26.
Correct. Okay. And so what would be our SSP and DAP margins?
In the new project or in the old project?
Currently, what would be our SSP and DAP margins? Yeah.
We are expecting a PBT of around 8 to 10%.
individually, like in SSP also it is 8% and DAP also it is 8% like that?
If we take it as a industry, we take it as an industry as a whole. If you want to have the numbers on product wise, then I will have to work it out.
Okay. No problem, sir. And so, where are we when it comes to cost in terms of SSP and DAP as compared to Coromandel?
See, Madhya Bharat Agro Products Limited has a facility of beneficiation of rock phosphate, having a capacity of 200,000 tons per annum, and which is not available in the Dhule plant. It is very clear. So only Sagar plant has that capacity. Dhule plant does not have that capacity, and that is the extra margins available with the Sagar plant. So if we compare with the if we compare it with Coromandel, and once we see the numbers of Coromandel, because they use phosphoric acid directly also, they manufacture phosphoric acid also, we manufacture phosphoric acid, we manufacture sulfuric acid, then we have this rock phosphate beneficiation plant. So definitely in terms of EBITDA or in terms of PBT or PAT, in terms of EBITDA, I can typically say we are better than the others. But in terms of PBT or PAT, because many other products are also involved, like non-subsidized fertilizers are also involved. So PBT or PAT, I don't want to comment on that. But in terms of EBITDA for the for this complex fertilizer or SSP, definitely we are better.
Okay, understood. And so from where are we sourcing our raw materials?
We are sourcing our raw material from Egypt, Jordan, and then we have tie-up with our local mining, which is MP State Mining Corporation, and there are some private players also which are giving us the rock phosphate for our beneficiation.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. That would be all from my side.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, please restrict yourself to two questions. Next question comes from the line of Majid Ahmed with Pinpoint X Capital. Please go ahead.
Audible, sir?
Yes, please.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Well, this quarter, you have done a very good revenue growth. But when I see that, particularly in your gross profit margins, it has nearly contracted by 11%. From 38% to 27% YOY basis. So, sir, just want to understand, of course, more than EBITDA, I just want to understand what is the gross profit margin that you want to stabilize for FY26.
Gross profit margin for
FY26 for the whole year. Like, how do you see 26-27% to be maintained, or will it be improved better?
Gross profit margin, it is nearly EBITDA also. It is nearly EBITDA.
But EBITDA is X of your employee and other expenses. Your revenue minus your cost of goods. That part of it.
So what was your question?
So my question is, going forward, like, what is your expected EBITDA? Because for both your FY24 and 25, you maintained at 32%. Would that be maintained, or is there, you see, compression on your margins?
For this quarter, basically the EBITDA has improved.
EBITDA has improved. That is because you have rationalized your fixed expenses. But again, if your gross margin or due to your COGS is getting fall due to some sort of your price realization or something of that sort, if your cost overruns, so how much ever you do real your cost rationalization, that won't help. So just want to understand, how are you going to maintain your gross margin?
The gross, see, if the EBITDA has improved, that all depends on the gross margins only, because gross margins has improved, then only the EBITDA has improved, and ultimately the PBT and PAT. So what I would like to tell you is, all these factors are improving due to the efficiencies.
due to the capacity utilization.
And we are confident
that the similar efficiencies or similar utilization will be maintained down the year.
So if I assume then your 32% gross margin and 14 to 15% EBITDA will be maintained going forward with your better efficiency and overall on annualized basis your margins could be at 30% gross margins.
We have achieved in this quarter and we are hopeful and we are confident that we will achieve in the coming quarters also.
Thank you. Mr. Ahmed, please rejoin the queue for more questions. Next question comes from the line of Rishi Mehta, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello. Sir, can I expect the continued production record as quarter one in quarter two given seasonal dynamics?
I did not get your question.
Can I expect continued production records in quarter two given seasonal dynamics?
Yes, definitely, because the Q2 was a post-kharif sowing, and with our strong inventory pipeline and expanded product mix, we will definitely have that production levels being maintained. There is no issue.
Okay, and one more thing is that, what about urea? Do you have any plan to move towards urea?
See, right now we have already very huge scope in phosphatic fertilizers, and that is why we are expanding our business in Maharashtra also. So at this point of time, we don't have any plans for urea, but as we are into the fertilizer industry, maybe down the line in another coming years, We can think it off, but right now there is no plan to diversify in urea.
Thank you. Mr. Mehta, please rejoin the queue for more questions. Next question comes from the line of Mithila Jain, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, first of all, congratulations for the result.
Thank you.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, congratulations for the good results. My question is, what is the impact of Iran-Israel war on the import of rock phosphate and also the impact of this on crisis?
The Iran-Israel war, since now the Iran-Israel war has already stopped, there is no material impact. Definitely, the FOB prices did not increase, but there was an increase in freight component, sea freight component, but it is more in line with the old rates. So there is no material impact of Iran-Israel war.
Okay then. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Kalavati, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, sir. I want to ask regarding EBITDA per ton. What contribution most to the EBITDA per ton outperformance and will it continue in future?
Yeah, as I have told in my earlier answers also that we have performed very well in terms of volumes and we have performed very well in efficiencies, which has ultimately absorbed the cost and which has directly enhanced our EBITDA pattern. And we are confident that this will continue in future also.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Gayatri Sharma, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Good afternoon, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Sir, my question is, NFL ke saath marketing agreement work ka status kya?
NFL ke saath mein jo marketing agreement hua tha, wo that was for an year. Aur uske baad mein the NFL agreement has expired. और क्योंकि जो जो डीएपी एनपीके का जो मार्केट है वो बहुत ही अच्छा और प्रॉमिसिंग मार्केट है और इस वक्त ऑलमोस्ट जब हम 98% हमारा कैपेसिटी यूटिलाइज कर रहे हैं एंड वी आर मूविंग अहेड विदाउट एनी इन्वेंटरीज इन द मार्केट इन द फैक्ट्री तो विदाउट एनएफएल एग्रीमेंट ऑल्सो हम लोग हमारे प्रोडक्ट्स को मार्केट कर पा रहे हैं तो देयर इज नो इशू राइट नाउ एनएफएल का अभी कोई एग्रीमेंट नहीं है.
ओके सर
थैंक यू. नेक्स्ट क्वेश्चन कम्स ऑन द लाइन ऑफ राजेश तोशनीवाल एन इंडिविजुअल इन्वेस्टर प्लीज गो अहेड.
गुड आफ्टरनून सर कांग्रेचुलेशंस ऑन द एक्सीलेंट नंबर्स. सर आई जस्ट हैड अ स्मॉल क्वेरी विथ रिगार्ड टू एन एनेबलिंग रेजोल्यूशन which we took sometime around Jan-Feb for raising further funds. So since then, have we closed our term loans and others favorably? Would there still be any need for equity dilution or, sir, we'll be able to make do with our own internal cash accrual?
See, as you have already told that we have already tied up our funds for our project. But every time if there is an investor coming up in the company, it ultimately improves the financial strength of the company. So as a company management, we are always open for the investors to invest the funds in the company. But we always tie up the funds for our projects so that there is no hindrance in implementing the project. And again, I would like to tell you that every project which our company takes up has a strong backup of financial, either they are in terms of loan or they are in terms of equity. So the project will keep on moving and it will get successfully completed on time. There is no issue of funds. Whether it is by loan or whether it is by equity. But equity always supports for the financial strength of the company also.
Understood. And good luck, sir, and Godspeed. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, we have reached the end of question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you once again for joining us. If you have any further questions, please don't hesitate to reach out to our investor relations team. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you. On behalf of Madhya Bharat Agro Products Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.
Okay, thank you.